quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Dr. Timothy Schaefer from the KSU Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. He's also an assistant professor in the communications department there as well, or is it the college? I always say department.
That's right.
Community college things, I don't know. I always refer to the journalism department, but if that's the JMC.
That is a school, yeah. It's some people really care about that, and some people don't.
Yeah.
I imagine there are folks driving around right now if they're listening that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the people, regardless. So we're talking a lot about different sorts of aspects of civic discourse and civil discourse, as well as sort of how that plays in the media. Mm-hmm. And that kind of seeds over into a discussion about – well, at least I'm going to seed it over into a discussion about media consolidation. And, you know, basically what I'm referring to is across the country you're seeing – let's tie it into the radio business. You're seeing radio stations being bought up by much larger radio stations, mm-hmm. and talk stations are kind of becoming conglomerates of much bigger organizations that aren't necessarily local. And I was wondering to hear a little bit about your thoughts on how that impacts discussions and how that impacts, I guess, coverage and the role that these organizations play in their specific communities, and how that changes conversations entirely.
Yeah, I think economies of scale become really important here, and being reminded and acknowledging the fact that many of these are companies, right? There's a financial interest, and that's real. And so economies of scale become significant in all facets of life, right? I mean, this is I was listening to a talk yesterday, actually, someone talking about globalization and how 15, 20 years ago, globalization was shorthand for Americans losing jobs, industry, manufacturing, these kinds of things. Today, globalization still means some of that, but in more significant ways, it means integrated supply chains and the percentage of things that are coming from Mexico, for example, to the United States are a lot of things that are actually starting here, right? And they go there and have a piece connected and they come right back because economies of scale, all these kinds of things, globalized world. Media is in similar ways in some significant aspects, especially when you think about it on the back end, kind of from the financial perspective. And so there's incentive to have larger entities buy up smaller ones, but with implications, right? So if all of a sudden you have a little different from syndication or something like that, but right, if there's a common theme or a message that is being told to be disseminated, that's impactful, right? And so there are a number of initiatives in various ways trying to kind of respond to or make some sense of that. So how do you – I mean, it's the same thing with mom and pop shops, right? Do you go to the big box store or do you go to these other places? And at what point does it make sense for you to consume certain things in certain ways? And media is no different in certain respects. And so the challenge is, who gets to play gatekeeper? What information is shared? How does it get engaged? You know, what are the vantage points, those types of things? And those are, I think, really kind of knotty questions. They're really thick with kind of complexity because there's on one end a financial interest on the part of the entity that makes all this happen, right? And on the other side, it's like, well, how do you represent and speak to the things that are of concern and interest to the populations that you're serving, right? Not just as kind of consumers, but as playing an informational role in their lives. I think about what you all did here with potential for flooding, right, in the city and in the region. And we had, I think, I guess that was last time I was on, we were talking so much about that, of how significant it was. And I mean, this is still a private business, right? But it has this incentive, this interest to serve those kinds of public ends. And so it's not a necessity for it to be economically viable and function in those ways or be this other thing, right? We can find opportunities, and that's basically how the radio landscape in the United States emerged, right? The same period that where I wrote that piece, it's actually part of a symposium that some of the other folks who were writing in that study, the emergence of radio at that time. Josh Shepard, for example, is a colleague who does a lot of this work kind of trying to understand the origins and preserving these early examples. And we don't have the British model, right, the BBC. We don't have that because very quickly, in about a two-year time span, they realized commercial radio did pretty well for itself. So here we are. But that's not to say there aren't lots of efforts to try to have community journalism, which is kind of faded in and out. The challenge is, as you know, right, to produce something that's worthwhile and good takes time. And time needs to be valued and rewarded. And the way that we typically think of that is financial, right? So there are these incentives. It's one thing if somebody wants to post a blog, like so microblogging and things like that. But that doesn't necessarily replace, in most instances the more formalized structures that are in place. So these are things that are all part of kind of the ecosystem and I think still in some important ways trying to figure out what any of it looks like.
And it's interesting that you bring up the sort of the blogging. I'm glad you did because that's a great segue because in this period of consolidation and it's not been changing, it's been a growing consolidation, at least in certain areas, certain regions, not across the board. It's not uniform in every region or every market. But in the same time as that, we're also having this at least the capacity for a more democratization of media through blogging is one of them. Podcasts are another one.
Oh, yeah.
This growth in, I guess, not curated media. And that poses, at least when I wrote a paper on this a few years ago, I saw it very optimistically. Looking at it now, there's also definitely some issues and some controversies and some dangers to it too. It's not 100% across the board.
Yeah, a colleague at K-State, Heather Woods, has students produce podcasts in one of her classes, and the students love it. It's a great assignment, right? We have the little mics because they're relatively cheap anymore, right? And we don't have the setup like this. Although we're trying to, so I should talk to you about the soundproofing stuff.
Of course, we can do that out there.
Cut a deal, yeah. We'll talk about that later. I mean, the technology is readily available, and so it doesn't take a whole lot to do something on a low scale kind of budget. And I think in some significant way, that's really good. I mean, take the internet for example. You can find anything about everything. It doesn't have to be right. It probably isn't actually, but it's out there, right? So when we think about kind of democratizing information, that doesn't necessarily mean it's accurate or that it's been vetted or it's gone through processes. That's why, I mean, you commented on the article that you couldn't read the full thing because you can only see the abstract because it's blocked by the publisher, which has a financial interest itself, right? And so there are always these kind of limitations of where you're bumping up against that question. And that's where I think multiple industries are trying to figure out what that means, right? How do we think about, in academic publishing, for example, open access materials have become very popular. But I am an editor of an open access journal. We don't have the support staff that many other journals do. Why? Because we don't bring money in the same ways. We don't charge exorbitant amounts of subscription costs to libraries. I mean, somebody pays, right? So you have to figure it out. Or if you don't, then you don't necessarily have the quality product that you might expect or assume is the case. And so coming back to the media point, kind of the democratization of opportunity to share, to disseminate, to use existing platforms, you know, Facebook Live, and seeing company. I mean, even K-Man. I know Dave has done some of this. You know, broadcasting simultaneously over radio and as well as Facebook Live. Look, that's a good use of technology, tapping into different populations in different places in different ways. That also reduces the barrier for if I wanted to just go home and set up my little boom stand and put on some headphones and do my thing. Then I can do that, but I don't have the same background, the resources, capacity to do what it takes to follow the beats and get the information from the courthouse or from the commissioner's meeting or these kinds of things. Why? Because I'm putting kids to bed when you're still listening to the commissioners talk about what's going on Tuesday night, right? Those are real things. And so there's you know, there's tremendous opportunity, and this is, you know, complementary to some of this is, or one of the other challenges related is, the, you know, small scale communities, right? With the paper that's trying to remain viable, but in the world of kind of digital clicks for advertising, like the threshold you have to cross is, Steve Smethers, another colleague at K-State, has spent a lot of time thinking about this, like how do small newspapers and the like exist in an environment where basically the financial model that they've been built upon doesn't work. And that's tough. And as we know, as I've talked about before, when you lose local media, partisanship goes way up because then all of a sudden you're just turning on the national news, which are framed in ways that are very, very much interested in having you stay watching that channel because they really want you to see the ads. That's what commercial television is, right? So these kinds of things are all interwoven with one another.
And I think the you mentioned kind of the economies of scale and the viability. And I think a lot of the way forward in that, at least in some cases, can be partnerships. And whether that's partnerships with these smaller groups doing their own democratized media, their own I guess maybe I'll just say untrained folks doing media and reporting on their own, mm-hmm. and then maybe even with other organizations in the area. I feel that partnerships can really do a lot to maybe help that, even if it's not formal partnerships, money-based partnerships, maybe handshake deals.
Yeah.
That can help facilitate these discussions in ways that maybe we aren't able to do.
I'm not going to say the name just because I don't want to get it wrong, but I do know a community in Western Kansas basically consolidated under one roof a number of kind of public serving institutions. So I think it's United Way, the local radio, I think the paper. There might be one other entity that's literally in the same building, but kind of as a cost share, right? I mean, the realization that they're all trying to do things that are impactful and good for the community and in this kind of civic way, and also realizing that they don't have the capacity or the resources to exist as they have, right? So I think we're in one of these interesting moments where there's transformation and transition. That's always tough, right? I mean, and that's part of why, for me, looking back can help me see forward, because the realization that this is not the first time that we've had radical change as it relates to the way that people live, how we interact, and how we consume information.
And I think it's time for our final break of the morning. We'll be back after this last segment, after this break. I said that backwards. Regardless, we'll be back.
We will
News
be back.
News Radio KMAN. And you're listening to In Focus.
In Focus shall continue after these very important commercial messages.